Now, one could say that this is a community in crisis. Last week, the scripture lesson, the gospel lesson, was the gospel lesson around Thomas and the disciples all in that upper room, afraid because Jesus had died and they'd heard he'd risen from the dead, but they weren't quite certain. And Jesus came in and they got to see witness that he was alive, and Thomas got to see witness that he was alive, but they were still all in that locked room. Because what does this community do? They had been following Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah. They had their vision of where Jesus was going. Jesus had his vision of where he was going. And they didn't quite meet. And now the one that they were following had died and had risen, and they weren't quite certain what all of that meant. So they were in crisis. At one time, so immobilized that they stayed in that upper room. But this morning, we find that they finally left the room and made it to Galilee. So can you imagine that group of disciples there in Galilee, not knowing what to do? And Peter, who had been called the rock upon which Christ's church would be formed, took on somewhat of a leadership role, because they were leaderless at this point, and said, "I'm going fishing. I know how to do that. The sea's out here, my boats are here, the nets are here, I'm going fishing." And so they said, "Yeah, let's go fishing." Because they didn't know what to do next. They had no idea of where they were going, what to do, how to follow this Jesus who's resurrected, and what does that really mean? Can you imagine their confusion? At one time they were grieving his death, celebrating his resurrection, but not certain what this resurrected Jesus was all about. So they're fishing. And they're fishing as they usually fish, in the same waters that they always fish. And I know that I'm a creature of habit. I don't know if any of you are. That, you know, you sit in the same pew, you sit in the same chair. Maybe if you go to a restaurant, you know exactly where everyone's going to sit at the table. Well, I'm sure fishermen are pretty much the same way. They know the spots that they always fish in, what waters that they normally catch fish in. And I even think they have a particular side they must throw their net over all the time, because that's just what they do. And they didn't catch anything that day. So can you imagine them there feeling pretty helpless, and nights, they've been out there all night long, not catching anything. And they didn't have those depth sounders that show you where the pools of fish are. So they had to just kind of wander aimlessly across the sea, wondering why they weren't catching anything. And it might have been one of those really cold spring days. So they were wishing they were back on the shore, and suddenly they look out and they see a fire. And they see someone out there on the shore. And then he calls to them and says, "Hey, catch anything?" And I can almost hear Peter, "No." And he asked them to do something different. He asked them to cast their nets on the other side, and they will catch this bounty. And they do what the stranger on the shore asked them to do. Remember, they're kind of leaderless right now, so anyone giving them any form of direction, they seem to be following. They're in crisis. So they do it, and then they figure out, oh, that's got to be Jesus. That's got to be Jesus. That's way too many fish. That's got to be Jesus. And Peter, being Peter, gets so excited he has to go swim to shore. And so he swims, and the fish come in, and there's Jesus cooking breakfast already. He's got fish, he's got bread, but what does he ask of them? "Share your bounty with me. Let's put your fish with my fish. We're going to have a feast. I'm bringing some, you're bringing some, and we're going to eat together." And I love how the scripture says no one dared ask, "Who are you?" I could almost hear, "Who are you and what have you done with my Jesus?" But they don't, because they know who he is. So again, they're still trying to deal with the reality of this new situation that they have no idea how to handle. So Jesus, being Jesus, shares with them how to handle it. Because if we remember, weeks ago, Peter was in front of a different fire. with different people around him. And they were asking Peter, "Aren't you with that Jesus?" And he said, "No." They said, "Are you sure? I think I saw you with Jesus." And he says, "No." And a third time he gets asked, "Aren't you with that Jesus guy?" And he says, "No." So here he is at a new fire with Jesus. And the very act after the meal is an act of reconciliation. Do you love me? And for each denial, Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to say, "Yes, I love you." So those three times of denial become those three times of reconciling love. But Jesus goes a little bit beyond that too, as this group is looking for their direction in their new life together. What do you do next? "You feed my sheep. You tend my lambs. You care for my sheep." And then the final word he gives us this morning is, "Follow me." So this new faith community of Jesus is these initial disciples who now are dealing with the fact that Jesus is a resurrected Lord, and they don't know he's about to ascend, but they kind of have a sense that he's not going to hang around, are given some direction, are beginning to be reformed from a community in crisis to a community with a mission. And the message this morning shares with us three things. It shares with us that sometimes we have to look in a different direction, that when we get in crisis, we revert to old habits. We revert to the things we know. We revert to the things that are safe. We do the things we know how to do. I don't know about any of you, but when my life gets chaotic and almost crisis-like, I tend to almost become obsessive about things and compulsive about things, that things have to be just so, because I can control what the table looks like, but my life seems to not be there. They're in that place. They know how to fish. The church does the same thing. As we move into a place of change in crisis, we get comfortable of reverting to old habits because we know how to do them. Those make sense. We know them. But Jesus is saying sometimes we've got to go in a different direction. And that's where the bounty of people to be saved can be found. The other thing he says is, within ourselves, we need to do an act of reconciliation. That sometimes, as the body, in our years together, may have harmed one another. And we need, in order for us to go and do the ministry of feeding and tending and caring for those I'm sending to you, you need to first remember that you love one another. That you love each and every one of those that you call the body of Christ. And that if you have harmed one another, you seek out restitution and reconciliation. Because that, as Isabel would tell you, that is how you know that someone's a Christian, by their love. But then the third thing he tells this community that's learning, that's kind of getting back together, and we've got a few weeks before they get it all together, he tells them to follow me. And I think that's where, as the body of Christ, we get confused. Well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Do you know the answer to that one? Me neither. Because we all have different answers of what it means to follow Jesus. If you talk to someone who has a strong heart for social justice, they'll tell you one thing, that you need to go and fight and march and do, and so that those wrongs can be righted. You have someone else who has a real heart for the poor and those who are hungry. And they'll tell you it's feeding them, feeding them, feeding them, feeding them. And then you'll have the evangelicals who have a heart for proclaiming the witness of Christ's salvation and his love. And they'll say, it's witnessing, it's witnessing, it's witnessing. That's all of what is. And the answer is yes. It is all aspects of proclaiming Christ's love, Christ's justice, Christ's mercy, Christ's grace, wherever we are found. But sometimes as a body, there may be one place where we are extremely gifted to do one particular ministry. And Christ can reveal that to us if we're open to that. But maybe we're a community that has multiple gifts that is going to be hitting in multiple directions, almost like the threads of a rope. Have you ever unraveled a rope and how narrow and skinny those itty-bitty threads are? Well, maybe each of us, possibly each of us, I know, Lord, all of us, have our own discipleship mission and witness of follow me. So we take everybody's strands and we begin to weave them together so that we make one big strong cord, which is called God's church. The way people know we are the body of Christ, the way that they know that we are a community of believers, is by how we love one another, and how we love the world. And it can be in multiple directions, multiple dimensions, because I'm not seeing a bouquet of white carnations here. I am seeing a myriad of colors. I'm seeing irises and roses and tulips and you name it. Some good ferns are in this bunch, and maybe even some fledgling trees. But we are a huge, huge bouquet of God's love for the world. So when we think about this initial community of followers of Jesus Christ, they were a bit in chaos. They were a bit in crisis at his death and resurrection. The church of God may be at this point in a time of change that may put us a little bit in a community in crisis mode. But if we keep our eyes upon God, our hearts with him, God will show us the way so that we can follow him, feed his sheep, and tend his lambs. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.